Let's go ahead and do this. Let's pray together. I know we've been praying a lot, but I'd like to pray one more time, and then we'll open up to John chapter 4, and then we're going to jump into it. Dear God, we do thank you that you are a real God, that you do exist. God, that you have loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus when we totally did not deserve it. Your mercy, your grace, your love, indescribable, way bigger than we could ever understand or appreciate. But we're grateful for sending Jesus. Thank you that you really do change lives. I pray that every single person in here, when we walk out, we will not be the same. We will not be content with just us going to heaven. We want to bring as many people as we can to join us in eternity with you, God. So please be over today. Let your word just go out and accomplish what it's designed to do, God. And just work in and through me just as a simple vessel, but letting the power really come from you and your word and the Holy Spirit. So God, we want to leave tonight in your hands, praying in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so you can go ahead and open up to John chapter 4. We're going to crank out a handful of verses, but we're going to read them all because it helps the story to be understood, and then we'll dissect it a little bit throughout the message. So I'm going to give you a moment just to get there. As you're getting there, there was a big worship service going on, and they were in a church that was just a high rolling church. They held all all the enhancements that the world would want you to have in a church. They weren't being bad. They were just in their normal routine, right? I mean, they had a little coffee shop out front. They had the worship band and all the members, which is great. Everybody's worshiping and singing. And this one teenager was in the room, and she heard something. The parking was nice. The greeters was nice. Everything was good. She heard something out the doors, and she was looking around. It was a little sound, but it was kind of catching her ears. And she's it's a little distracting while she was worshiping. She heard something, and she just goes to the back of the church, and when she was getting out, the sounds were louder, she went out and she saw in a distance. She thought what it looked like was teenagers and people, mainly teenagers, and then humans, and they're on this big cliff, and just one by one, just going down, and there was some screams going on as they were falling, and. But no, nobody was saying anything along the way. And she gets closer. She runs. She leaves the church. She goes and sees the line of people, a lot of teenagers her age. And she says, hey, what are you doing? They're headed over a cliff. And they're like, stop, don't. And then one goes off. And then another one's about to, no, don't go. What are you, dragon? Pulled, wrestled one down. Gets back up and goes off. Another one. She said, I need help. She runs back into the church, and she's wanting to. She is packed. She is just on fire. You guys, stop the music! Stop the music! And they're in the middle of playing. Excuse me, why would you interrupt our route? What are you? You're interrupting us. We're in the middle of our thing. Why you're in it? What are you doing? There's people that need us. I need help. Who wants to help me? They're just falling one by one, and we need more people to come help get them. Could you just calm down just a little bit? But it's a serious deal, and they're really falling, and it's really happening. You're looking around for help, nobody's helping. She said, there's got to be somebody to help me. She goes and finds one and two, and they go back to the line, and they just get passionate about reaching more for Christ. You're like, Pastor Dave, that's kind of a... And it could be more intense. I was toning it down, just so you know. But... people are going to hell. And it's one by one by one by one by one. And if you haven't visualized it, go to a train station or a bus station, Walmart, or whatever is here in Wales. There's a lot of people that don't know. They're taken captive, and they're on their way to hell. And if they don't have Jesus, that's where they're going to go. But we have them. And it's good to worship. We got to come. We have to come. It's so important. God's asked us to come. We got to sharpen each other. Don't forsake the coming together as believers. And we got to come together and we got to get equipped for questions, for encouragement. We need that dose of reminder that, hey, we're a Christ follower and we need to get fed from our shepherd and so on. But we do need to get out there because they're just going. And we have the answer. And so today is going to be about Jesus grabbing one more person to be saved and how that life can change. And then she goes and things start changing. So just a little intro before we get into the real meat, which is God's word. And so I'm going to read this. We're going to read all the way to 42. So don't cut me off and don't fall asleep. OK, I know you just ate dinner, some of you. All right. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. They said to the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, thou being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. A lot of us think that racism is a new thing. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, there's all these kind of divisions and territorial things. I mean, I truly believe that every situation we can concoct can be found in God's word. The more you read God's word, the more you're like, what? This is in here? So she's realizing, whoa, you're not from my turf. I'm not from you. You're a male. I'm a female. This should not be happening. I mean, this is just out of the norm, just to set the tone a little bit. Jesus answered and said unto her, we're in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, pointing to the well, referring to the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and the one in the whom thou hast is not thy husband, and you said that truly. So he's like, you've had five husbands, and the one you have now isn't even your husband. So you're right on that. Good job saying the truth. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She's basically waiting for something, and Jesus says, hey, I'm the one you've been waiting for. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Okay, they're already thrown off about this situation that's going on. Yet no man asked, why seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest, and he that reapeth receiveth. Just lost it, sorry. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. We're on track. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. All right, that was a lot, but it was an amazing story, okay? This woman's life was instantly changed, and she goes and shares. She doesn't care who she's sharing with. And the interesting part is the people from her city, from her own town, they heard what she said, and they needed to hear from her, but they had a personal experience. Let me tell you something. Yanelli, Christ has changed her life. That's happened in her life. Christ has changed my life. But it says they heard it for themselves. They had to, it's an individual thing. It's a personal relationship. Nobody can save you. You're going to be in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to see, do you have Jesus or not? And so it's an individual decision. But they heard it, and then when they saw it firsthand and experienced it firsthand. So let's jump into it. So we're going to break down the gospel itself. We're going to break down the gospel and the reasons why we should share. But we're going to cover some key words to ask. It's like the what, who, when, where, why, and all those kind of questions. And we're going to jump into those one by one, but we're going to use these scriptures and some others to help us get there. So the first one is, what are we going to be sharing? If we're going to go out there and evangelize and tell people about Jesus, what is it that we're going to share? In 4:10, if you hop back, we're going to jump around a little bit with these. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Little by little, you're going to see him giving her answers. He refers to it again in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There, we do a skit where this person has an empty heart and they're looking to get it filled and satisfied, and they keep looking. She was looking in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 relationships, and now she's on her 6th one, and so far not having good luck. Her well, she's just, it's keep getting empty. And he says, I can get you a spring of water, of life, of eternal life. It's going to keep coming and coming. It's going to be satisfying is basically the answer for her. Verse 22, ye worship and you know not what we know and we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Starting from Abraham all the way to Jesus, Jesus is bringing salvation from the lineage, from his lineage, even by ancestry. They didn't have ancestry.com, but they knew that he came from Abraham all the way to Jesus, and that's how salvation comes. Over and over again, we see 26 and 32, Jesus said unto her, I that speak to you am he. Listen, if you can get one thing right when you're sharing the gospel, Jesus needs to be the main ingredient, okay? So he's given her the answer, I am he, who you're looking for. A lot of other verses that we have. So, what is the gospel? I personally like to break it down in certain ways. So, if you're taking notes, it's going to be great. You want to write this down. This is just now you can fill this in. Salvation is so deep, so rich, and so amazing, but it's also very, very simple too. And so, here's an easy breakdown, but a lot of things can be filled into this. But I like this breakdown. We want to start off with God, and He's holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 refers to God being holy. Revelation 4, 8, he's going to say, I'm holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is holy. He's perfect. Hasn't done anything wrong. That is his position, his right. That's where he's at. But we have a problem. Before you tell people the good news, which, by the way, gospel means good news. So we want to tell people good news when we're out evangelizing and sharing the gospel. It's good news, but you have to tell them the bad news. The bad news is, so God's holy, that's good news. But that's his position, that's a fact. But the bad news is that all of us have sin. So if you're taking notes, you want to start off with God, how he's perfect, holy, and that can go super big. But we're just going to say he's holy on this point. But we've all sinned, and that sin has caused a separation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can't reach it. We fall short. We've missed the mark because of our sin. Isaiah 59:2 says, you're separated for your iniquities. So we're separated because of our iniquities. And so there's a separation because of our sin. The punishment for that sin is death. God's holy. We've all sinned. We cannot be with God with sin. And there's a punishment for that sin, and that punishment is death. Somebody's going to have to die. So now, if you leave somebody with that and you walk away, not good. Okay. One time I did that. It was my hardest seed planting moment ever. If I have ever cried, I cried the most that moment. I was a translator for a mission team, and we had a bunch of people. I was speaking in Spanish, but I'm letting them have a chance to share the gospel. But we did all these skits and all these great things, and I found a guy carrying some groceries. I said, hey, I have a team right here that they want to share the gospel. I wanted to give them a chance to share, you know? So I kind of primed the pump. I said, hey, by the way, did you know that me and you, we've done these sins? I did it. If I could have shared the perfect verses, I did it. If I could have done a good example, I did it. I just made sure he knew he had sin and he wasn't allowed into heaven because of that sin. And I said, but I have a friend that will give you the answer. You want the answer? He said, yes. Can I drop these groceries off? Sure, drop the groceries. I'll go get the person. It'll be great. He goes, drops the groceries. I said, hey, guys, guess what? I prepped it up. All they need to hear is about Jesus. You want to do that? I bring them back. We're waiting. And then the leader of the team says, all right, load it up. We got to go. What? And then I'm like, we can't go. And then, anyway, so I told the guy perfectly how he is not going to heaven because of his sin. So from now on, when I share the gospel, if they have to leave, I'll say something like, hey, Jesus died for those sins. He's the only way to heaven. All right, bye. You know, you got to put your faith in him, whatever. So I want to finish it off now, but I was a basket case in the bus. And my leader of the translator said, dude, pull it together, man. You're a leader. What's going on? I told that guy everything, how he's not going to heaven. And he's like, you're going to be a seed planter. And God's going to bring somebody else who's going to give the answer. Okay, so don't ever stop at that point. That's not the full gospel. But they do need to know God's perfect. We have sin. We can't be with God with sin. Here's the answer. There's a sacrifice. Jesus took our punishment. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah 53:5-6. He took our iniquities upon himself. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. It says, for I delivered you first of all, the most important thing I can give to you, that Christ died for our sins. And he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the punishment, Jesus took that punishment. He's the one who died. You can't earn it or deserve it. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. And it was paid for with a price. Okay? So we have a gift that's available for everybody, and it costs something. Does anybody know what it cost? It cost death. Something came out of him when he died. The blood. That's right. We've got to have the blood. We make these cool little bracelets, and it's got the red one, but it's there for a reason. It says in many verses, but it was paid for with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Let's just check out that one. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, if you want to go with me, then we'll come back to John. If you mark a verse, this is the one worthy of marking if you want to, but 1:18 and 19. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver, gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. So going back, you were redeemed, you know how? In verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish, without blemish and without spot. It was the blood of Christ that it cost. So it's a free gift, but it had a payment, and that payment was the blood. Jesus is the only way to be saved. This is important when you're sharing. You got to let them know Jesus is enough. A lot of people know about Jesus, but sometimes they have an and come after that. Jesus is enough for salvation. And then there does have to be a response. John 3:16, 18, 36. It's sandwiched in there. He who believes has everlasting life. He who does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. And then there's a choice that you can believe or not believe. They do have to respond. Jesus died for everybody. There is no sin too far that the grace of God can't reach them. But there does have to be a response. A lot of people say, I do not want him, and I don't want to put my faith in him. So there does have to be a response. Jesus paid it all. There's a lot of songs about that, but there does need to be a response. Okay? We'll refer to this again, but a gospel, that's the gospel broken down pretty good. And again, I'm sure Pastor BJ and the other solid people at this church can help you remember that if you weren't taking notes, and how to tell people about Jesus. But we'll touch on them a little bit too. When should you share the gospel? When God leads or open doors or an opportunity. I went skydiving one time and they were selling these shirts, and the shirt says, "Why would anyone jump out of a perfectly functioning good airplane?" And an adrenaline rusher said, "I saw an open door and I took it." So if God opens a door, then take it. That's the best time to do it, is if God opens a door for you. John 9:34 says, "They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, dost thou now teach us?" And they cast him out. So there's going to be times when some people don't want it. Some people do not want to hear the gospel. There's different apostles that brush the dust off their feet. They go to the next one. Our job is to share. God's job is the results. So the next one would be, there's intentional pursuits. Oh, by the way, in our main chapter that we're in 4:28, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men. So she stopped what she was doing, and she went to go tell people about Jesus. She just stopped in her tracks. Verse 29:39. "Come, see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Pointing people to Jesus. Stephen brought people to Jesus. So our job is just to bring them to Jesus. And then 39, it says how, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me what I ever did." So because she went and shared, many people had turned and believed. God can save who he wants. I want to be a part of it, though. And so she was changed, and she right away went and told as many people as she could. When to do it? Do it now. Do it right now. Who should you share? Anyone and everyone. In John 4:7-9, it says, "There comes a woman of Samaria who comes to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me a drink." And then verse 9, "Then said the woman of the Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It does not matter. Don't let any barriers come in. You share as God's leading, okay? Anyone and everyone. Yes, we talk with the teens about how God has built us. We're all just different shades of melanin, okay? We just have different shades of melanin. So it doesn't matter who you're talking with. When you get Christ, share Christ. Jeff, would you mind coming up? I just want you to come share yours. So Jeff, guess what? He gets the opportunity to share it right now. He's going to share his story. We heard from a teenager, but I want Jeff, can you share your story real quick with everybody? Yeah.
Talking about, and
Nice.
But I was saved at that point. I had a strong Christian moment. But, you know, we still face trouble. We still face heartache. We still face different things. Cancer care, real cancers. Times of my life, I thought I had cancer. I was told I had 6 months to live. I went through that. And I wanted to see my next Christmas. The Lord put that cancer away. I didn't have to go through that.
Right. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I love that phrase at our church. We quote a lot. It's not perfection, it's direction. We're not perfect people, but we have a perfect God, and we're heading in a direction to look more like Him. And so thank you, Jeff, for sharing that. But I do want to say, to answer the question of who, there's a quote from Jack Warson. It says, "It's the responsibility of every generation to reach their generation for Christ." Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there might have been passionate Christians telling people about Jesus. Maybe thousands of years ago. But this is our time, and God's allowed us to be with this generation of people. And how are we going to use that? It's a responsibility of every generation to reach their generation for Christ. And so I'll share one more that was in Argentina. And this fellow whose body was quite deformed, if you would think of Hunchback of Notre Dame type thing, and his buttons were unbuttoned a little bit, and his belt, you know, loops were broken, and he was, but he had his tie on, and it was a little crooked, and he had kind of a hump like this, and just came over, and he's walking over to me, and he comes and nubs me right here, and he nubs me. And as an American in a third world country, I'm thinking, all right, he's probably just going to ask me for money. You know, that's just what he wants. But he comes up, doesn't know me, doesn't even know my name, doesn't even know who I am, doesn't even know what I do, why. He just comes up, says, "Hey, can I tell you something that changed my life?" And he begins to tell me his story, just like Jeff and Yanelli did. And his story was, he said, "I was born with this deformity and whatnot, and I wanted to kill myself. I tried killing myself multiple times." And he's like, "I didn't want to live. But somebody told me about Jesus Christ and how he died for my sins and rose again. I put my faith in him. He changed my life. And I'm here to help you guys. Anything you need, you just let me know." And he's like, "I just wanted to tell you how Christ changed my life." And he said, "I'll see you later." And that was it. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I said, the best story that will forever stick with me was that guy. He doesn't care who I am. I asked the question, who, and so it shouldn't matter who. It should be so important that we share with whoever. And so this guy was passionate about sharing his story. Everybody has this. If you got Jesus, you got a cool testimony, okay? So, but be passionate about sharing it just like that guy was. Where should we share it? Where God leads me. In the normal daily traffic patterns of life, it says that Jesus in 3-6, how he's just traveling. He's going from one place to another. He happens to be crossing by. He happens to be tired. He wants some drink. And in that moment, he shares the gospel. He tells them about himself. We don't get to do that. Jesus could. But 4 and 6, it says, and he must needs know go through Samaria. It was part, I got to go here. I have a meeting. I got to go to this. I got to get groceries. I got to. And it says, he must needs to go here. So we need to do stuff, but along the way, keep open eyes. So when to share it? Normal daily traffic patterns. I've shared the gospel so many plains, mountains, homes, parks. Thousands of people at festivals have shared the gospel. A few individuals freezing in the back of a truck on a trip in Ecuador going to the beach. When it's cold enough, you will snuggle with whoever, but like in a cool way. But we're just like, dude, you don't mind? I don't mind. I just want to be warm. But while we're in the back of this truck for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, I told him about Jesus in the bed of an open truck with Spanish dudes, you know, in another country. Well, this trip, I can't tell you how many times our team has been on trains and buses already sharing the gospel. So daily traffic patterns. Official instructions is Acts 1:8. I want to read to you the right way. It is, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We're from the USA, and this is kind of like uttermost. And then, but everybody has their own Jerusalem, their own Judea, their own Samaria. So start in your town, start in your home. There might be family members who don't know Jesus yet. Start there, and we'll work our way out when God opens that opportunity. She went back to her hometown. She went to her Jerusalem. It was her virgin. It was Samaria. But she went back to her hometown. We have a phrase, not a phrase, our mission at our church is engaging our communities and beyond with the life-changing gospel and love of Jesus Christ. Engaging is an intentional thing, but starts at home and work our way outward. But engaging, it's like a car. It has power, a powerful engine, but it's not useful until the gears are engaged. So God has power ready. It's kind of like lights with motion detectors. The Holy Spirit will do amazing things. God will do amazing things. He's waiting on movement from our part, okay? The lights are about to come on, and the power's available. He just, are you going to take a step and start being obedient or not? So, how? All right, I'm going to give you a cool little thing. This is a cool how. It's called the call circle. Ready? If you're taking notes, this is good. Prayer, care, and share. All right? I'll make simple ones, like that beginning gospel. It's a little intense. This one is a little easier. Prayer, care, and share. So start praying for somebody, care for them, and share with them. I'll break it down a little bit more in just a moment. Just go and be obedient sharing. 4:10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked him and he would have given thee living water. He's sitting by a well. He's using water as a reference to salvation. You guys can use anything. I have a good friend of mine. You can give him a piece of grass or a rat trap or a laptop. You can give him anything, and Glenn Baylog, and he'll turn it into a gospel opera. You can use anything. Jesus happened to be by a well, and water starts from that and just goes with it. So let the Spirit give you the words to say. We did a mission trip in Mexico, and there was this boy. His grandpa was there, and the boy, and he's following us around. We did skits. We did the Evangelicube. We're telling all these different ways to tell people about the gospel. He heard the gospel at least 30 times in like 4 days. And his grandpa said, this kid's, you know, I don't know why he doesn't want Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus? No. He's like, can you talk to him? I don't know. You know, all right, I'll go talk to him. I said, hey, man. And I just shot it straight. You've been around us. You've seen the gospel. Why don't you want it? What's that? Why don't you want it? Well, I had somebody tell me because I have tattoos, you know, that I did something wrong and it's permanently on me, so I'm not allowed to go to heaven. I'm like, who told you that? I said, what verse did he use? I said, That's why you're not. You don't want to be a Christian. That's why you're not making the decision. But he needed somebody to talk to. But the Spirit was giving me words to say. I said, did they show you a verse about that? And they're like, no. I said, can I show you some verses that what God says about that? And so we went in about how, you know, talking about Jesus taking care of the sins. It is finished. There's no tattoos or something left out. He finished everything that needs to be paid for our sins. Okay. And so he explained, and he believed in Jesus. It was awesome. But the Spirit gives the words to say. But sometimes as we're doing our normal traffic pattern of life, Luke 19:10 says, like Jesus said, seeking to save that which is lost. And so not just tell you to be seeking, but to share and help you understand. So here's a couple quick things. I did the prayer, care, and share. These are some cool things as you're going out, being intentional, living for Christ, telling people about the gospel. Before you talk to people about God, talk to God about people. Okay? So before you talk to people about God, talk to God about people. God, give me open eyes to see what you're doing and a willing heart to follow in obedience. Sometimes he's given me opportunities. I'm so busy, I don't even see it. So we need to ask God to give us those opportunities. But when he does, then ask him for a willing heart to obey. I think Julie does that second part pretty well. You know what I mean? She sees these opportunities. I think she even creates opportunities that God didn't even, you know, I'm kidding. He brought it to you, but you really find those opportunities. So here's the way to start. You ready? And it's good to take notes, by the way. I'm sure Pastor BJ, he just brings it every time. And so you might, if I ask you, what did he preach on 5 Sundays ago? So grab some sort of a note thing. I use my phone, but use some note because it's good stuff. And I forget a lot of things. I don't know about you guys, but it's good to write things down for messages. But identify. So the first thing we want to do is identify. Pray first. Ask God to reveal who your one ought to be. So first, God could give us anybody, anywhere, anytime. Okay, we already covered that. When, where, who, anybody, anywhere, whatever God does. But we can be intentional on our end to say, God, help me identify who it is you want me to start sharing the gospel with. Maybe you have a grandma, a cousin, an uncle, a friend, a coworker, something that if I said to you right now, who is somebody in your life that doesn't know Jesus that needs to hear this life-changing message? Some people might be coming to your head. And so first thing to do is say, God, can you show me? There's some homeschoolers at our church. When I say this, they say, I don't know anybody. I just know my mom, dad, my brothers and sisters. I'm like, go to Walmart and find somebody. You know, I'm just kidding. I say, pray and ask. So God, show me who I need to. So the first one we want to ask is asking to identify who, this is called who's your one. You want to find out one person. It can be more than one person, but some people are like, there's a whole world that needs Jesus. How am I going to begin? Start with one at a time. It's not overwhelming. If everybody grabs one, start with one. And yes, he might give you, might turn into. My one is our neighbors. Their name is Brett, MJ, Ellavie, Love, and Everin. That's their kids, okay? Brett and MJ are the couple, and Ellavie, Love, and Everin. Pray for them all the time. I keep a bracelet. Who's your one? And so anytime my prayer time, I'm praying for people to be saved, they're on my list. They're my one, but they're actually five. You know what I mean? So it could be more than one. No, Pastor Dave said one. I can't add somebody else. No, start with one to not be overwhelmed. But if God gives you more, keep praying. So identify who is it? Who is it that God wants you to give? So ask God to help you identify that person. Philippians 2:2-3 can help you with that. So after you find out who it is, intercede for them. Don't. So hit pause for a second. God let Jesus be with that Samaritan woman. He found out who it was, okay? But our next step for us could be intercede. Pray. Don't just pray about them, but really pray for your one. Intercede. Listen to this. Long before you talk to people about God, we said talk to God about people, but commit to pray for your one on a daily basis. Also pray for openness to the gospel. Pray for your own boldness and opportunities to have spiritual conversation. Jesus even prayed this for us in John 17, verses 20 on. He's praying for us that we will also reach more for Christ. And so Jesus prayed for us. He said that those who will believe, he's praying for the future ones who will believe. And so even Jesus was praying for ones, tons of ones. You know what I mean? But so once we identify who it is, then start interceding for them and praying actually specifically for those people or that person. Then there's another I, if you notice these are I's. The third I is investments. Create connection points for relationship building with your one. Build opportunities to build the relationships. So we've done things from slaughtering chickens, roasting it, cooking it with our neighbors. We've done things of helping them put up a zip line for their kids. We've done meals together. We've gone out to eat together. We've done all kinds of cool things building a relationship together with our one. We need to be intentionally kind. You might know the phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Okay, Proverbs 11:30. Let me just jump there real quick. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Okay, our goal is to win more and more for Christ. But we want to create investments. There's a lot of percentages of how many people will listen to somebody who they have a relationship with, somebody who they've built, you know, a relationship with. A stranger, God can use you. But somebody who really knows you, they respect you, and they want to hear from you. So identify, intercede, and then invest in them, build that relationship. Then we got to be intentional. Look for opportunities to have spiritual conversations with your one. Again, I'll mention Miss Julie in this just because it's fresh on our eyes on this trip. She's finding anybody to have to be intentional with, to have a conversation. So God might bring something, but we have to intentionally, all right, we're sitting beside each other. Or maybe we've been praying for somebody and they finally come. You're having coffee together and you know you want to share. You've got to be intentional. We've got to take that step. Learn to be comfortable. All right, because I know some people in the room are uncomfortable with that. So here's a cool phrase. Learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. We have a phrase for the teens. We say awkward is awesome. So it might feel awkward, but it's worth it, okay, because what we're going to tell them. Whose abilities are we looking at, mine or God's? Don't let insecurity drive your life, my life. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Our job is to be obedient. God will take care of the results. Just trust him with the results. Our job is to be obedient, okay? Don't feel the pressure of how they're going to respond. God is the one who saves people. John 6:44, no one comes to the Father unless he draws him, okay? Our job is to share. We water, we plant. God gives the increase, Okay? We don't save people. We don't come back, hey, I saved 12 people. No, Jesus saved them. You just told them how, okay? So, but it's worth sharing. We've got to be intentional about that. A little helpful thing, if you're taking notes, is if you're with that conversation and you say, how do I be intentional? Ask them good questions. Ask, admire, admit. So ask them good questions. Just like Brother BJ said at the beginning, you might come across somebody who is a whole other religion or cult or whatever. Oh, Jehovah's Witness? So how could you admire a Jehovah's Witness? Man, you guys are pretty passionate. So you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, you're totally wrong. No, don't do that. Be like, wow, so you're a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, okay. Man, you guys are on fire. You guys go, you're very intentional out there. It's incredible how hard you guys are working. You're admiring things that they're saying, and it shows you're listening because they just told you they're Jehovah's Witness. Now you admired something about them, but then you have to admit. You gotta. We'll get to it about sharing the gospel. Remember, you're not the star of the story. I'm going to share this one. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, Then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. That's who we're reconciling for. Here's another one. Pastor Dave, what if I don't say all the right words? What if I don't know how to do magic tricks? What if I don't have the Evangel Cube? What if I can't do the three circles? What if I don't have one of those cool bracelets? All right? This verse is going to help you with that. 1 Corinthians 1:17. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Okay? He's not looking for our smooth, amazing analogies, visuals. Don't forget the cross of Christ. You've got to get to that. And so he sent us to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Jesus, it can take care of himself. I'm sure you've mentioned about just letting the lion, all you got to do is open the cage. The lion will take care of what it needs to do. It's power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. If you just share the gospel, it'll take care of itself. Our job is obedience. God's job is result. And then the invitation. When you're talking to somebody, you're intentionally sharing with them. There does need to be a moment when you give some sort of an invitation. Have a clear and concise gospel presentation is important. Remember that you're not inviting them to join just a church. You're inviting them to join the kingdom of God. Church can come after that, but the invitation is to join the kingdom of God. A clear gospel message should have the following elements. We went over those. God, man, sin, Jesus, repentance, and faith. You respond by faith. Many people do not accept Christ because no one has asked them to do so. Remember to give your one an opportunity to respond by giving an invitation. Okay? So don't be afraid to ask them, hey, would you like to put your faith in Christ? We see many examples of that in Scripture.